The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
So what are you doing here? Why have you come to church? Sometimes I think it's helpful to recover the basics. It's easy to get into a pattern of behavior and not go back to the why of it. And of course, why we're here and what we're doing here is essential to being a Christian believer. It's Sunday. It's the Lord's Day. And we're doing what the first Christians did, and we're doing what Christians have always done at all times, in all places. First things first, worshiping God in His church on the first day of the week as the first priority. It's the day of the resurrection, after all. Jesus rose from the dead on the third day, on a Sunday. And it's for that reason that the early Christian believers who were Jewish moved their day of worship from Saturday, the Sabbath day, to Sunday, the day of the resurrection. And so every Sunday is a celebration of Easter. We're here because Christ rose from the dead. The early church called Sunday the eighth day. Have you heard that before? The eighth day? There's only 7 days. How is it that Sunday's the eighth day? Well, because of the resurrection of Jesus, all things are made new. There's a new creation. Any man who is in Christ is a new creation. We have a new future of eternal life with God because we share in the death and the resurrection of Jesus. We are an Easter church. We do what the first Christians did. It's the Lord's Day. Some of you may remember in the old prayer book and the catechism as you were prepared for confirmation, there was a question that said, what is your bounden duty as a Christian? Do you remember the answer that we're supposed to memorize? My bounden duty as a Christian is to worship God every Sunday in His church and to work and pray and give for the spread of the kingdom. And so we recover the basic reason for why we're here is because it is the Lord's Day, a day of worship, and we belong to God, and we put first things first. But you know, the remarkable thing about it is that the pattern of how we worship, what we do as we gather for worship, is exactly the same as it was in the apostolic church, and which has been handed down to each generation in what we call the apostolic tradition from the first Christians. We gather to hear the word of God and to receive the sacrament of the altar. Hearing the word of God. It's the same pattern in the New Testament church as it is in the church this morning. First, a reading from the Old Covenant, the Old Testament, the law of Moses and the writings of the prophets, which ultimately, of course, point to Jesus as the fulfillment of the scriptures, the Messiah. Then, as with our Jewish ancestors, we sing a song of David, one of the Psalms. And then another reading of this time from what we call the New Testament, the New Covenant, a reading from one of the epistles of an apostle explaining to the church why we are believers and how to live the Christian life. And then not just one, not just two, not just three lessons, but we add a fourth lesson, which of course is always the gospel, which contains something of the life and teaching of Jesus. And that's the unbroken pattern which has been part of what the church has always done. And you and I continue to come together for Sunday by Sunday to hear the word of God. Now, in mainstream Protestantism, it's typical for their worship to end there. It begins with the word, the reading of the word, the preaching of the word, and prayers and hymns, but it ends there. And I hope you appreciate, as I do, that part of our rich Anglican tradition of Catholic Christianity is that we begin with the Word of God, but we don't end our worship there. We move on to receiving the sacrament of the body and blood of Christ. We are a sacramental church, not just a church of the Word. I don't know about you, but I can't imagine going to church on Sunday and only receiving the Word and then going home, having not received the sacrament. Part of our rich tradition is that it is Word and sacrament. We do what Jesus commanded his first disciples to do. Take, eat, this is my body, do this in remembrance of me. And so faithfulness in our worship is to worship God every Sunday in his church, to hear the Word of God, and to receive the sacrament of the body and blood of Christ. But the other part in the middle there, sometimes we simply rush through, called the prayers of the people, is a reminder that it is important that as we gather as Christians on Sunday, that we pray for others, that we make prayer and supplication and give thanks for all sorts and conditions of people, that we're to intercede to God on behalf of others. One way of thinking about that is, of course, is to recognize that we're not here only for ourselves on Sunday. We might even say we're not here primarily for ourselves. We're here for others. We're here for those who cannot be here or do not care to be here. We're here for unbelievers. We're here for world leaders, the sick, the suffering, the lonely, the widowed, and so on. And so hearing the Word of God exhorts us to pray for others, to make intercessions for others, and to bring others to the altar with us in our prayers. That's what makes the church a priestly people. We bring others to God, and then we take God to the world about us. This is the tradition, this is our obligation, and this is our great joy and privilege as Christians, to worship God every Sunday in his church, to hear his Word, to intercede for others, to be strengthened by his body and blood, and then to take that good news out into the world in our daily lives as witnesses of the gospel. It is a great tradition and a great gift, a great joy and a great responsibility. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, amen.